You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio. Please like, share, and subscribe if you're watching us on YouTube, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts across the Big Blue View Radio network. Lots of moves for your New York Giants this week as free agency started. Lots of new faces, new players to get to know and to root for, and none bigger or more important to the Giants than Brian Burns, edge defender that the Giants made a big trade for this week from the Carolina Panthers. And here to help me get to know a little bit more about Burns and discuss that trade is Brian Beversluis from SB Nation's Carolina Panthers website, Cat Scratch Reader. Brian, thank you very, very much for taking some time.
Not a problem. It's been a very eventful free agency period for, I guess, both of our teams. So,
well, it's been very, very busy, and my head is still spinning. But I need a vacation now.
Yeah, it's been quite a lot on our side as well. Just all day have to watch for signings and whatnot. So.
Yeah, it's a busy time, but you know, but at least we have content. At least we have stuff to put on our websites.
Right. Yep. Exactly. It's definitely better than being the Cowboys, where they are just, you know, losing their minds over AJ Dillon probably not signing with them right now. So
it's always better. It's always better than being the Cowboys, Brian. Always.
Also true. Yep.
All right. Hey, I need to ask you. Need to start with this. Brian Burns was a key player for Carolina. A year ago, I think it was, the Panthers turned down a better trade offer for Burns than what they got from the Giants. Just what is the reaction in the Panthers fan base to the trade, to losing Burns, to how this all went down, you know, for Carolina?
Let me just double check myself real quick here. It actually happened in 2022. First of all, that's kind of the key context to the trade as far as the Rams and the Giants offers. Panthers fans are still mad about it, regardless, because they are not getting two first-round picks from the Giants. But the offer made by the Rams was made halfway through the 2022 season when Brian Burns had the fifth-year option still on the table for the next season and the franchise tag. So there was a lot more time to negotiate a deal, where with this deal, obviously, Carolina had him on the franchise tag. They either had to figure something out, or he was walking for next to nothing next season, or they had to franchise tag him again and pay him exponentially more. So the deal makes sense in the sense that they had to do something if they weren't going to retain Brian Burns, because, you know, over $20 million in cap space for 2024, Carolina has so many needs. So, like, personally, I understand the trade. I understand why the Giants didn't give up as much as the Rams were willing to give up, just because, contextually speaking, the Rams would have had him still on his rookie deal, or at least the back end of it. Where now it's the Giants had to make a contract work right away in order to sign him. So I think the sticking point with Carolina was just that that whole $30 million a season, they just couldn't afford that. I still think that's a little bit much for him, but it's also free agency where you overpay for everybody that year. And then 2 years later, you look down the line and say, okay, now it's kind of you know, a decent deal. So Panthers fans are upset about it, though.
Yeah, and I had asked your cohort at Cat Scratch Reader, Walker Clement, a similar question. But you mentioned the contract that Brian Burns got. He's 25. In 5 years, he's had one double-digit sack season. The advanced analytics would say that he's been more impactful than that, you know, as a pass rusher, you know, looking beyond the sack number. And I guess what it comes down to, what the question comes down to is, can Brian Burns justify with his play and maybe paired with Kayvon Thibodeau, you know, with the Giants, can he justify what the Giants just paid him?
I mean, it's definitely the best situation he's had in quite a while. I think the best overall pass rushing situation he had was when he was paired with Hassan Reddick and Derrick Brown in Carolina in 2020. He ended up getting, 9 sacks that year, though his actual pressure number was very good. He's always been very high in the pressure number. The biggest thing for him has always been finishing, getting those sacks. I think he can justify that number, but when you look at that number, you're looking at guys like Nick Bosa. Brian Burns is not Nick Bosa. He's never going to be. He is not a strong run defender. He's always been a lean guy, real fast. And there's always been play. There's usually at least one play a game where he makes a play that nobody else can make, you know, like he jumps the snap, hits the quarterback before there's any chance of anybody reacting to it. Like, he's a good player. He really is. It's just he's a different kind of player than those guys who get those top 2 to 3 contracts because he's more of a pass rush specialist. That said, I mean, last year, week 1 against the Falcons, he looked every bit the part of a player who deserved that kind of money. It just didn't last because he's just not a guy who can overcome when teams really game plan for him. So hopefully having Thibodeau, hopefully having all those other guys there, will take some pressure off of him or take some of the attention away from him. And, you know, if he's one-on-one with a mediocre left tackle, he can beat the brakes off him. Not every play. One of his biggest problems has always been that he disappears sometimes in games. He's not consistently that impact player, but when he is that impact player, he's real good and unblockable. It's just not all the time.
You know, I'm interested in the idea of, you know, what he's been versus what he could be. And I guess that's part of what I already asked you is there more in the tank after 5 years, you know, with Brian Burns? Is there more? Is there another level that you think he can reach? Or do you think that what he's shown is pretty much what he is?
I think there can be another level. So the thing about Brian Burns was that, number one, when Ron Rivera brought him in, he was kind of miscast as a 4-3 defensive end, and he was really slim for a rookie defensive end. That's just not going to be his thing. He got better at all the things that 4-3 defensive ends do over time, but he's 25 years old. He's got insane athleticism, and when he's motivated, when he's on it, he can be very good. Do I think he's going to hit the level of somebody like Nick Bosa? No, I don't. But I do think that on a team where, especially if they're playing with leads where he can just pin his ears back and rush the passer, I think you can get a guy who's going to have over 10 sacks a season. I mean, he's very similar to Hassan Reddick in that regard where, you know, real fast guy, real slim, you know, he can speed past blockers. I think there's a chance that there's more to it. I mean, only being 25, it typically takes defensive ends, defensive linemen, a few years to really put it all together. And he came in real young at 21 or even 20. So there's definitely a chance, and he's got the athletic skill set to do so. He's definitely had games where he took over and was just unblockable for the Panthers at times. It was just last season, not so great. Granted, there was a lot of the mental aspect of it since he didn't have his contract. The Panthers weren't very good, and he was worried about getting injured. But, I mean, I think that you look at the 2022 season, and that was kind of like where he started to really climb the next hill. And I think he can continue that kind of production. I think you could expect, you know, 12 sacks if it's a good situation for them. Just, I don't know. It's hard for me to say. I mean, I think that I've always thought very highly of Burns. So for me, like, I could see him being one of those guys who's pushing 20 sacks if he's on a team that's doing real well and he's rushing the passer a lot. Especially if they're not on the field as much as the Panthers defense has been over the last 3 years. I think there is definitely room for growth there.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Giants fans are excited about the idea of Burns and Thibodeau together. Different types of pass rushers, different types of edge defenders, I think. You said that, you know, I gather that Burns is more of, I don't want to use the word finesse, but he's more of a speed rusher. He may not be a force player, you know, against the run. Thibodeau's a power guy. His game is based on power. He can do other things. You like that combination, just as, you know, when you think about what they could do together for the next few years?
Yeah, I mean, it's as long as Thibodeau continues to develop, I would say, yeah, it's a good combination. I mean, Burns has definitely added to his power rush arsenal since he got into the NFL, got some more of that NFL weight program on him and whatnot. He's the kind of player where if he's got opposite somebody who is going to also get sacks, he's going to, number one, command attention and potentially make that guy do better. I mean, Reddick had more sacks than him when he was with Carolina, and a lot of that just had to do with that. They're both people you have to pay attention to. So if Brian Burns is taking more of the attention, where teams are more focused on him, he's going to disappear at times for you guys. But as far as the skill set and whatnot, I think it's a great pairing with Thibodeau.
You know, it's just, it's interesting, and I think it's really the biggest swing that Joe Shane has taken in his three off seasons. So, yeah, so there's, you know, the money, you know, bringing in a guy like this. So it really is a big swing. It kind of changes the Giants defense a little bit, though. Wink Martindale was a guy that didn't value edge rushers as much. He valued, He wanted a scheme pass rush, and he valued the defensive backs and the corners. So it's different. Shane Bowen wants to rush with four. So, and I think, you know, Burns to me seems like a guy who fits that idea pretty well.
Yeah, that would be his best option. I don't know why the Panthers were so, insistent on dropping him back in coverage as much as they did. He's really just a pure pass rusher. That's what he is. So if the Giants are smart, they will just have him do that as much as possible. Just my only concern is just that he's not the best run defender. obviously just not being as bulky as a lot of the top defensive ends are. As long as they have him playing an outside linebacker, though, where he can stand up and rush the passer, I think you'll see some nice dividends, I guess is the best way to put it. My only concern is that they'll try to have him be a complete, like, edge player, you know, stop the run, set the edge, stuff like that. That is not his game. He is a pass rusher.
Giants can use one of those. I know that much. Mm-hmm. They blitzed second most in the league last year, and yet they were still in the bottom half in terms of effectiveness at getting to the quarterback. So they needed edge help. I wasn't anticipating this big swing, but Giants fans will definitely take it. Another question that I had about Burns, he referred to himself as a natural leader. Was he a real leading force? Was he a real, you know, leader, you know, on the field, maybe in the locker room for Carolina? And I ask that because it's hard for guys to come to a new situation and become that sort of lead dog kind of guy.
I have no concerns with that. He became a leader very early on in his Carolina tenure because once Matt Rhule came along, kind of stripped the defense out, you know, like Thomas Davis, Luke Kuechly, all those guys were gone. You know, eventually, like Brian Burns became one of their top, like, leader people alongside, like, Shaq Thompson. Very early in 2020, I want to say, would be when it started, but 2021 at the latest, he definitely does fit that role. It's hard to say how he'll do it with 2023. Was a real bad year for him as far as just that he was clearly either not motivated or afraid to get hurt, because there were times where he just disappeared from the game, and that's never going to be a good look for a leader. The Panthers were a horrible situation regardless. I mean, being the worst team in the league, only winning two games, you know, it's hard to push through that. But as far as him being a leader for a team like the Giants in their current situation, yeah, I don't see that being a problem.
You know, Brian, I want to switch gears for just a second away from Burns for just a minute. You guys had a quarterback situation a year ago. And to this point, you know, it hasn't worked out all that great in Carolina with Bryce Young. The Giants sit here with the sixth pick. Anything that you learned, you know, from the Carolina situation that could be a lesson for the Giants here? There's a lot of chatter about the Giants moving up, you know, about what they might do at quarterback. Just your thoughts on the whole situation in Carolina and anything the Giants could take from it.
Well, the biggest takeaway was just that the Panthers drafted what the player that a lot of really respected scouts widely believed was the most pro-ready quarterback. They dropped him into a situation where his wide receivers were awful. His offensive line, unfortunately, suffered some injuries at a position where they were very weak at, and it just all fell apart from there. On top of that, they had a head coach who really kind of tried to fit a square peg into a triangle hole, or however that saying goes, where he was where he was trying to make Bryce Young do the kind of things that are just not his skill set, not catering to his strengths. So, I mean, if they go up and draft a quarterback, just make sure they really need to make sure that they, number one, surround him with the talent that'll help him succeed, which I think Carolina is trying to do this offseason. And number two is just they need to mold their playbook to their rookie quarterback. I know to you, people like you and me, that seems like common sense, but that doesn't happen in the NFL for whatever reason all the time. If they are going to go get one, they really need to be like committed to, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to run. We're going to do this to help develop him. Cause Bryce Young, it was a long season for him, and you could tell towards the end, he was just having a hard time, you know? So it's the Giants are a different situation in the sense that I don't feel like they're as devoid of talent as the Panthers were, I guess is the best way to put it.
They still have Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
So they still have the option of if they draft a quarterback in the top six, whether they move up or not, they have the option of redshirting that quarterback for at least a while. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you. I mean, the Panthers were in that situation where Bryce Young had to play, you know, week one, you know, with a supporting cast around him that wasn't very good. I still like the idea of these guys sitting, whether it's for a whole year, whether it's for three quarters of a year, whatever it might be. I still like the idea of a guy sitting at least for a while and learning and ironing out his mechanics and figuring out the NFL a little bit before he gets thrown out there. I don't know if you think that if Bryce Young had had that situation, you know, if it might have helped him a little bit.
Well, the funny thing is they signed Andy Dalton. So in theory, they did have the option to redshirt Bryce Young. I think what ended up happening in that situation was just that David Tepper was like, I want to see this quarterback play right now. And that's what happened. And honestly, in hindsight, I mean, it was a rough season for Bryce Young, but we got to really see what kind of player or what kind of person he is. Like, he still went to work every week. He actually had a really good game against the Packers at the very end of the season. He was like literally 1 second away from getting them to a field goal that would have beaten the Packers, who were a playoff team. I think it's valuable experience for him. I do. But at the same time, you can break a quarterback real easily doing that. So, yeah, I kind of agree with your mindset, and just in a vacuum, like red shirt, give him a year, especially if you have somebody who's capable of starting. It just depends on the guy. Like, you really have to figure out what kind of person they are. And Bryce responded extremely well to adversity. So we'll see if it picks up this year with a better offense, but who knows? He might be a bust anyway. Might not matter how well he responds to the team being bad. So,
yeah, well, you know, some folks around the Giants are still trying to figure out what Daniel Jones is, and we're entering year six, I think. So
fast. So Eli, you never know. Who he is to me.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Eli with wheels.
Yep.
Eli with wheels, only not as successful so far.
Right.
All right. I think, you know, that's pretty much all I have for you, Brian. Just, I wanted to thank the Carolina Panthers for Brian Burns, you know, and Giants fans probably want to do the same. Pass rusher that should make a big difference for the Giants. So thanks again for the time. Thanks again for the insight.
I do have one last comment I wanted to make on Brian Burns. Never got a chance to fit it in there. So he does have the Brian Beversluis endorsement in the sense that, so I actually had I want to say 2017 or 2018, whenever they drafted DJ Moore to 2022, I correctly guessed and the four first round picks they had during that time in a row. And Brian, and they were always, it wasn't that I guessed it correctly. It was just, that was my guy. My picks were DJ Moore. They drafted him. Brian Burns. They drafted him. Derek Brown. They drafted him. JC Horn. They drafted him. So Brian Burns has my, my endorsement as far as, he was my guy in that draft. And,
there you go.
So I'm sad that he's gone. I mean, I always love having those guys on the team where I can be like, I said they should have drafted him. But he's not around anymore, so I hope he does really well for you guys and just continues to prove me right.
There you go. Seems like for years and years, you know, I've been like, oh, the Giants drafted so-and-so, but they should have drafted somebody else. Mm-hmm. So, which is probably why they've been bad for most of the last decade.
I mean, if it makes you feel any better, the Panthers have been worse since I've correctly guessed those picks. So, you know, maybe it doesn't, maybe there's not a science to it.
Yeah, maybe you don't want to send in your resume to be GM. Of course, you might not want to work for David Tepper anyway.
Yeah, that seems to be the rumor on the street, but who knows?
All right. Hey, Brian, thank you very, very much for the time and the insight. Giants fans, thank you as always for listening. Please stay safe out there. Take care of each other, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.